All right, everyone, we are back again, getting ready to go into the Word of God. We are continuing our series entitled Pioneer. I want someone, wherever you are, I want you to say, I am a pioneer. Type it in that chat box. Come on, just get on those keys. Get in there. Say, I am a pioneer. This is a season where we are called to pioneer. Now, I do want to remind you, it's the first Sunday of the month, and so we are going to be taking communion together as a church family. And so if you do not yet have the communion elements ready, make sure that you get them. Have that juice, have those crackers ready to go. At the end of my message, we're going to be praying and we're going to be taking communion together. But let's dive right back into this topic about being a pioneer. Now, as you know, our first Sunday of every month, we've committed this year to really put an extra emphasis on healing and on signs and wonders. And so we're going to be doing that today, but in this context of pioneer, let's review for a few moments. What is a pioneer? A pioneer is a person who is among those who is first to enter or settle a region, thus opening it for occupation or development by others. In this season, guys, God is calling us to move into new things in the Spirit and to go forward. Number two, it is one who is the first or among the earliest in any field of inquiry, enterprise, or progress, such as a pioneer in medicine. Number three, it is a group of foot soldiers detailed to make roads, to dig entrenchments, to help advance the main body. And number four, in an ecology context, it's an organism that successfully establishes itself in a barren area, thus starting an ecological cycle of life. I want to encourage us once again in the season that God is calling us to be pioneers. God is calling us to head into new territory, to head into new areas of what He is doing, to have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, to have a kingdom mindset where we are plowing forward together and we're seeing new life established. It is time to pioneer. Somebody say, it's time to pioneer. Type it in the chat box today. It's time to pioneer. We are in a season where God is doing new things. So we're in this season where God is doing new things. Another core text that we are going to be working from is Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, and I will make rivers in the desert. And that's part of the word of the Lord over this season. He is calling us to pioneer. And so as we mentioned last week, we are looking at, because the Holy Spirit said to me, we need to look back if we're going to go forward. We need to understand the DNA of the original pioneers of the early church. And we need to really embrace these DNA pieces. Yes, it will look different in this new thing that God is doing, but the DNA is still the same. And so we've gone and we went to the book of Acts. And I want to read to you again from Acts 2, 42 to 47. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, if you'll remember from last week's message, we started with talking about the first DNA component that we want to embrace is simply this of being devoted. And we talked about the power and importance of devotion, the challenge for each one of us in this season to say, where is my devotion at? This week, I want to build on top of that, and because it is our Healing School Sunday, and because it's the Sunday when we particularly like to focus on signs and wonders, I actually want to jump ahead here to verse 43, because I want you to understand that not only was the early church devoted, but the early church that pioneered, that they saw the power of God was a key element of all that was happening. They were not a powerless church, but they were a church that walked in the power of God. And I want to encourage you, family, just as much as we need to be devoted, if we are going to be a church family that pioneers, we are going to be a church family that is walking in the power of God. We are going to need to be a church family that is walking in healing, that is walking in signs and wonders, that is walking in these things that God has called us to. We need to pioneer in power. Somebody say, wherever you are right now, say maybe to someone who's sitting around with you, we're going to pioneer in power. Type it in that chat box today. We are pioneering in power. We need to pioneer in power. Verse 43, it says, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." And so we see this. It was not a side issue. It was not something that was meant only for, only to happen in very, unusual circumstances and just maybe every once in a while. No, it was a regular part of everyday life for the church that they were walking in the power of God. And in that same way, family, as we are going to be a church that is pioneering, as we are going to be believers that are pioneering, we need to pioneer in the power of God. I want to take you on a little bit of a journey here through the book of Acts, and let's see how healing and signs and wonders were a foundational part of what God was doing in and through them. Let's go to Acts 5 verse 12, where it says, "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico." There were many signs and wonders that were done regularly. Pioneers are pressing into an atmosphere where it's regular for signs and wonders to happen on a regular basis. If you move a little further in that passage, Acts 5, 14 to 16, and says, "More than ever, believers were added to the Lord's multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them." I mean, you talk about a move of God, the power of God, the healing power was so powerful, particularly it's saying around Peter in this time, that literally when it talks about his shadow, it's not talking literally about, okay, where'd my shadow go to get my shadow? It's talking about anyone who came within a proximity of him were getting healed. They would just lay them out in the street, so even as he walked by them, that they would be healed and that they would be made well. And we see that this was creating an atmosphere where more and more believers were being added to the church. Why? Because they were seeing the demonstrated power of God. God is calling us as pioneers to be in a place of taking new ground and to battle for men and women to come to know him, to battle for men and women to come into the kingdom. But guys, part of God's plan on how we're going to walk in that, part of God's plan on how we're going to get there is going to be a church that is pioneering in power. It's going to be being a church that's pioneering in healing and signs and wonders. Come on, somebody tell your neighbor, somebody type in that chat box today, "I am pioneering in power." Let's look at Acts 6 verse 8. And so this is moving forward. Now it's talking about Stephen. It says, "Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people." See, grace talks about what God gives to us. Power is his power flowing through us. And it says that he was full of grace, he was full of power, and he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Can I suggest today that one of the reasons we're not seeing more signs and wonders happen is we're not full of the power of God. That's why we need to pioneer in power. Acts 8, verse 6 to 8. So it goes on here a couple chapters later. And this is now Philip, who has gone to Samaria, and says, "And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and they saw the signs that he did." Now, what were these signs that was causing the crowd to take notice? What were these signs that was causing a city to take notice? Verse 7, "For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And there was much joy in the city. See, a city was being touched. A city was being impacted. Why? Because of the word being preached, but also because of the power of God being demonstrated. We need to pioneer in power. We could jump ahead to Acts 14, verse 3. It says, so they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. This is now talking about the ministry of Paul. Acts 15, verse 12, it says, and all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. Again, we have to pioneer in power. Acts 19, 11 to 12 says this, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Again, say it with me, we need to pioneer in power. Acts 28, 8 to 9 says, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. And Paul visited him and prayed and put his hands on him and healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. Guys, over and over and over again, I just gave you some examples from the book of Acts. I didn't even give you all the examples from the book of Acts. But the church, the pioneering church, the early church that was moving forward the kingdom of God was a church that was walking in power. That's why Paul said, I did not come to you just with words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and with power. And so in this new season, in this new time when God is doing a new thing, one of the things that is not changing, and one of the things that we need to lean into on an even greater level and lean into in an even greater dimension is saying, God, we want to walk in your power. God, we want to see the sick healed. God, we want to see those who are afflicted by the devil raised up and made whole. God, help us to pioneer in power. And so this is a passion for me. This is a passion for us as a church family. Even with all that's gone on this year, it should just make us understand even more why we need the power of God. We are coming into a day and an age where powerless religion is not going to cut it, family. Powerless religion is not going to be enough. Having just nice services with nice programs and nice buildings and nice setups and nice cameras and nice, you know, internet broadcasts, that is not going to be enough. But it is going to become a demonstration or a battle of power. We are in a season where it's going to be like on Mount Carmel with the prophet Elijah, where he had a showdown with the prophets of Baal, and he called them out, all 400 and whatever it was of them, and he says, let's go to Mount Carmel and let's set up an altar and let's make a sacrifice and let's pray and let's see which God answers with fire. It is a season and a time and a place where, yes, the enemy is raging, and yes, he is trying to move forward his things. But God is looking for men and women who are going to rise up in the spirit of Elijah. And part of rising up in the spirit of Elijah is being people who are going to stand in and demonstrate the power of God. It's going to be people who know how to pray and see the fire fall. It's going to be people who know how to stand even in the face of opposition and say, listen, I'm not just going to tell you about my God. I'm not just going to tell you theology about my God. Not against theology. But I am going to show you that he is the God who answers by fire. Because even if we go to that passage, which I don't have reference right now, I'm just preaching out of my heart to you. Even if we go to that passage and Elijah stood before the people and he said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. But the Bible says the people answered him nothing. They didn't even respond. But once he set up that altar, once he made the sacrifice, once he poured the water over it, and once he prayed that simple prayer, and the fire of God fell from heaven, and it said it consumed everything in that altar, that is when the people cried out and said, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. Who is going to take up the mantle, and who is going to take up the heart and the spirit of Elijah and say, I want to be someone who's not just going to talk about the power of God, but I want to be someone who's going to see the power of God demonstrated. We want to be a people who are going to see it. We don't have to do it by ourselves, but there's what the Bible would call the spirit of Elijah that he wants to release on all of us, that we can stand in this day and age and we can declare that we have a God who answers with fire. That is what power is all about. That is what we are pioneering into, family. And that is what we need to continue to pursue with all of our heart. You know, even as you're aware now, in our gatherings that we're doing, our in-person gatherings as a church family, yes, we are going to continue with these online services. And this is where I'm going to be sharing the word with you weekly. But when we gather together, we are going to be through worship, through prayer, through pouring out our hearts to God, through being together in you, we're creating altars and we're believing God to answer with fire. That is what this is all about. We don't just want to run through a nice service order. I mean, the days for that are done. I'm not even trying to be critical of what happened in the past. The old wineskin was good for the old wine, but it is time for new wine. And if it's time for a new wine, we need a new wineskin in Jesus' name. And part of that wineskin is saying, we're going to build an altar of prayer. We're going to build an altar of worship. We're going to build an altar of unity. We're going to build an altar where we're saying, yes, God, when you said, seek my face, my heart says, your face I will seek. That is the altar we're building. And I want to just encourage you as we come together, as we're gathering together over this season, let us be those who are building an altar for the fire of God. Why? Because we need fire. Our city needs fire. Our world needs fire. Fireless, powerless, weak religion is not going to cut it. We need to demonstrate and represent who our God is. And it's in creating an altar so there's fire. Let me just stay on this point for a second. I'm not even getting on my notes at the moment, but that's okay. In the Bible, wherever you see fire, there's always first an altar. Right? You build an altar, and that's part of what we are called to do. We are living stones. We do it even through our lives, but it's also as we come together. And that's why in this season, we are focusing these gatherings. Yes, the word's important. And yes, it's important, you know, the practicalities, but that's where we're going to keep doing it here and keep tuning in here, keep being part of this every single week. But then we're having it. I believe it's going to grow and there's going to be even more opportunities, but we're going to have these gatherings where we're building altars for the presence and the fire of God to come. This is the call in this day. It's about pioneering in power. Will you join me in humbly and prayerfully and passionately pioneering regarding the power of God, right? Pushing into new territory, going into the unknown, being willing to make some mistakes, being willing to have to learn some new things. Will we go there together? Will we pioneer in the presence of God? Now, just in the last section of my message today, I want to talk to you a little bit more about practical things we can do to pioneer in power. Practical things that I am working to embrace so we can press in for healing, for power, for the signs and wonders that God has called us to. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to be in a pastor session with Pastor Bill Johnson. Now, most of you would be familiar with Pastor Bill. He is the senior lead at Bethel Church in Redding, California. I'm sure almost all of us have heard of Bethel Church. They do a lot of amazing things. There's a lot of amazing things that they walk in. But one of the most distinctive things as a church is they've really become a place of healing. They become a place where there is miracles and healings that happen every single week. People literally fly from around the world to be there. They have a healing school. I mean, I think in this season, they probably had to shut it down for a season, but they have like a Saturday healing school every Saturday. And literally, they have 1,000 people come through. They just see like literally miracles. I think I could probably say daily, definitely multitudes every single week. And so I was listening and I was you, but when I get around somebody who knows some things, I want to listen a lot more than I talk. And so they opened up the opportunity for us pastors to ask questions. And I had a question in my heart. I was like, I'd always wanted to ask this question if I got a chance. And I got my chance. And the question I asked was, Pastor Bill, I said, I've always heard that there was for a long time in your ministry that you saw no healings, that you saw no signs and wonders at all. And then now you're in this place where you're leading a church community that is seeing them happen on a regular basis. How did you go from nothing to walk in this? In other words, in the context of our message today, how did you pioneer into that? How did you push into that? So I asked my question and at my computer, I was ready to type. As I actually just want to share with you what he shared with me and with all the other pastors who were there. And I want to share with you what he talked about, how they pioneered in healing and how they pioneered the presence of God. Why? The power of God. Why? Because this is what we can do as well. Right? God's no respecter of persons. If we can see that someone else pioneered into this and made a way, we can pioneer into it as well. And we can learn from those who've gone before us. And so here's what he said. He gave me 5 keys. He said, number one, believe that it is for you. And so number one, if we're going to pioneer in healing, if we're going to pioneer in the power of God, we've got to believe that it is for you. Here's what he said to me. He said, most of my life, I thought you had to be a special person to flow in the supernatural. He said, for me, it just wouldn't leave the pages of scriptures. And, you know, I can resonate with that too. I have friends and different people in ministry. It just seemed like they started ministry and this healings came easy. Miracles came easy. And it kind of builds this mindset. You go, well, I guess that's a special anointing and there's special people who walk in that, but it's not for the rest of us. It's not for me. He wanted to say, he said, I never had a special encounter or calling, and I'm not like this big, bold, extroverted person. But he said that in the late 80s, he went to a John Wimber miracle conference. John Wimber, founder of the Vineyard Movement, amazing man of God who walked in healing. He said, and I realized Bill said this. He said, I realized I had theology, but he had fruit. And he realized, he said, something clicked in his heart, and he said, this is for me. And so if we're going to pioneer, family, if we're going to continue to pioneer into healings and signs and wonders, the first thing we've got to recognize is this is for us. As long as we believe that it's not for us, as long as we believe that it's for somebody else and it doesn't apply to us, we are never going to walk in it. But something happens when we get in our spirit and say, no, this is for us. Come on, somebody say, this is for me. Somebody say, type it in the chat box. This is for us. This is for us. So we've got to believe that it's for us. Number two, he said in our church family, we began to study healing. So we began to have a class on healing. We watched healing and we mimicked what we saw. One of the things he says was, he said, don't try and be an original. Learn and then you will start to become original. Your personality will start to take over. And I love that. So we go into this place learning. That's why we're doing, for example, Healing School Sundays. That's why we're taking the first Sunday of every month and saying we want to focus on the healing power of God. We want to focus on these things. Why? Because we've got to be taught and we've got to study this. And I would encourage us, especially as a church family, don't just limit it to one message a month, but let's dive in, let's study, get books, get MP3s, watch YouTube videos, get in there and study and grow in healing, because he said they studied it. Number three. So number one, he said, believe that it's for you. So let's believe this is for us. We're pioneering in healing and power. Number two, study healing. We are doing it. Let's continue to do it. I believe there's even more that God would have for us. You know, I had a church family member just share with me just recently about this incredible testimony of one of their family members who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so they came together. They said, we're going to pray and God is going to work a miracle. And what she said, listen, take these Kenneth Hagin teachings. Take these Kenneth Hagin teachings on healings. I want you to listen to them 24/7. What's she doing? Studying, listening, because he teaches about faith and he was teaching about healing. And so this lady, her family member did that, and she would listen to it over and over again, and it really started to get inside of her. Well, you know what happened? The testimony came through. A month later, she went back for another test. No cancer. It was all gone. And it came from someone who just said, I'm going to pour the word of God into me and I'm going to believe God. So we need to study it. Number three, he said, I cried out in the secret place. He said, I really began to cry out to God in the secret place, and I really began to pursue an increase of his presence. Will we be those? Because again, sometimes pioneering is like, okay, out in front of people and all. No. Will we pioneer in the secret place? Will we pioneer early in the morning when you don't feel like getting up out of bed, but you know you need to be up to spend your time with Jesus? Will you be pioneering where you turn off the television, you turn off Facebook, you turn off Netflix, and you turn on the scriptures, you turn on time in the presence of God? Why? Because you're crying out in the secret place, right? It is not going to be won by just doing these outward things. It's going to happen in the secret place. And what happens when there's a whole church family of people who are crying out in the secret place for greater healing anointing, who are crying out in the secret place for more of the demonstration of the power of God? We need to cry out in the secret place. Right? Even when we're talking about Elijah and the Mount Carmel and that showdown with the prophets of Baal, he did not just get there and think, okay, now I need to pray. Now I need to seek God. No, he had prayed. He had sought God. He had prepared himself for that moment. And so when the day for the showdown came, Elijah was ready. Why? Because he had been prepared. He prepared in the secret place. He prepared when nobody was watching. He prepared when nobody was looking. He prepared when he wasn't necessarily feeling anything, when it was not comfortable, but he still prepared in the secret place. Why? Because when you prepare in the secret place, then you are going to be ready for the public place and what God has called you to. But do not wait for the public place to then try and get ready. We've got to prepare in the secret place. So number one, if we're going to pioneer in healing in the supernatural, we have to believe it's for us. Number two, if we're going to pioneer in healing the supernatural, we've got to study healing and study the Word of God and keep doing what we're doing, but even more. Number three, we need to cry out in the secret place. And this is number four, I began to take risks in the public place. You know, this really convicted me, and it convicts me now even as I read it. Because I'll be honest, this was a number of years ago, and even as I'm going through this with you today, I still don't feel like I have done it quite the way I need to yet. But I'm going there. I'm pioneering. Will you join me in pioneering in this? But I love this because it's on one level, guys, it's saying, yes, this is for us. It's crying out in the secret place, asking God, and with perseverance. But then it's being willing to take risks in the public place, right? It's being willing to actually step out and do it. It's being willing to say, okay, I'm going to pray for this person right now. Okay, I'm going to get a word for this person right now. And especially in the public place, because sometimes we are as bold as lions inside the four walls of our church building. But we are as meek and quiet as little lambs when we get out into our workplaces, into our schools. And listen, the same lion of the tribe of Judah that's inside the four walls should be the same lion of the tribe of Judah outside of those walls. But I know it's scary out there sometimes. And it's scary to take steps of faith. But how much do we want this? We'll be willing to follow this example, the pioneer, by saying, I'm going to step out. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to do this. I remember hearing Bill Johnson talked about how he said that they had one healing at a local hardware store. We prayed for a guy healing. He said, we rode that for like a year. We will be people who will do our praying, who will do our study, not in the work of a flesh, but in saying we're pioneering in something together. If each one of us are part of this, if each one of us matter, then what happens if each one of us pioneers in power? So we believe it's for us. We're going to study healing. We're going to cry out in the secret place. Right? Even as we gather together, this is one of the things we're crying out for. We're building an altar together. We're crying out. We're saying, God, send the fire. God, send your fire. And we're doing it in unity. So cry out in the secret place. Take risks in the public place. I want to challenge you. What's a risk you can take this week? It's another word for faith. Right? We like faith. Well, faith is often spelled R-I-S-K. Will we take risks in the public place? And then also understand it's going to grow incrementally. So don't get discouraged after a week we don't see anything change. Will we do it for a month even if we don't see a lot? Will we do it for a year even if we don't see a lot? Because God is faithful to do what he promised. And I believe in all my heart if we just will pioneer in this. At first, you might not feel like you're making a lot of territory. You're not making a lot of progress. But if you just keep at it, one day you look back and go, wow, look at all that has happened. Look at all that God has done. Why? Because there was a group of us. There was a church that was willing to come together and to pioneer. Amen? And so I want to encourage you in that. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to take communion now. We're going to take communion together. So grab those elements. Make sure you have the cracker. Make sure you have the juice. We're going to take communion. And then we are going to pray for the power of God to manifest right now. And in our gatherings this week, we are going to be praying for healing. We're not laying on hands because we're practicing social distancing. But we are going to be praying for the power of God, for healings and for signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. All right, so get your stuff. And I'm going to be back with you in just a moment to do communion. All right, so I trust you have your elements ready to go. The Bible tells us on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. Whenever you eat this, do so in remembrance of me. And so let's take this bread together today in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. The scriptures also say he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Whenever you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." Let's drink together today in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today, even as we've taken communion, to remember the broken body, to remember the shed blood of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you that, Jesus, when you died and when you rose again, you'd said, "It is finished." And one of the things that was finished was the power of sickness and disease in our lives. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, wherever we are, wherever anyone is listening to this, wherever they sit right now, if they have sickness, if they have disease, if there is some form of oppression of the enemy in their life, I speak and I release healing now in Jesus' name. I thank you that healing is a finished work, the work of the cross. In the name of Jesus, I speak and I release healing. I speak and I release wholeness. I speak and I release deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, whatever the sickness is, whatever the disease is, by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. And so we release that right now in Jesus' name, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Come on, just wherever you are, if you need healing, I want you just to put yourself in a position to receive. Make a decision today. I believe it, Lord. I receive it. Some of you are feeling a heat or a warmth that is coming on the part of your body where you need healing. In the name of Jesus, right now, we speak that. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing to knees. Someone, God is healing your knee right now. In the name of Jesus, it's been a chronic, ongoing issue, and God is bringing healing right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody else, your hip. You've had some issues in your hip, and there's been pain in your hip, but I feel the Lord is bringing healing right now in the name of Jesus. Some of you, it's your hearing and your ears, and there's some issues going on with your ears. It's been affecting your healing. We speak right now in the name of Jesus, healing in Jesus' name. Even someone who's been starting to go deaf, but in the name of Jesus right now, we speak your ear pops open now in Jesus' name. Somebody's been struggling with migraines and different challenges in that area, just real pain. We speak healing right now in Jesus' name. Someone else has had back issues and you've just had really bad issues with your back. We speak healing today, right now, in the name of Jesus. Somebody else has just had issues with your breathing and with your lungs. We speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just declare, even in this season where we're still working through COVID-19, we speak healing and wholeness over every member of this church family. And even there's some people watching who are battling, or you have a family member that's battling with it. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing. One of you has, somebody listening to this, you have a grandparent or a parent, actually. I feel like parent or grandparent, even in a retirement home, and you've been so afraid for them. You've been so worried. Well, we just declare healing and protection over them right now in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, we speak healing in Jesus' name. Now, what I want you to do is I want you just to check it out. I know many things you can't test out immediately, but I want you to check it out. Just test yourself out right now. See if there is a difference. Sometimes you'll notice some difference and the healing continues to manifest. But even if you don't see a difference right now, what I want to encourage you is receive it by faith anyways. Because we've had people who are healed. The Bible talks about one man who was healed as he went. We have another one. We've people who are healed in that same hour. Not right away, but within that same hour. There's other people that have gone to bed and woke up the next morning totally and completely healed. So you release your faith for it, whatever way it can come. But even now, I believe there's people that are experiencing a difference. And if you're experiencing that difference, get on the keyboard right now. Type it out. Let people know that testimony. Father, we thank you for healing, but we also thank you that we are pioneering in healing. We're pioneering in the power of God. And so we thank you for your shed blood. We thank you for your broken body today. And we thank you that we are walking in healing, in signs and wonders, and the power of God in Jesus' name. And everyone agree with me said, amen. All right. Well, it's been awesome to be with you today. I love what God's doing. Please remember, we are going to continue to be here every single week. I've got a word for you. We're continuing our series of pioneering, but we're also going to be pioneering the Spirit with our gatherings, which are going to be around prayer and worship and seeking the presence of God. And so the information's online for you. You can get all the details of how we're being safe and how we're being wise and what we're believing God for, but we'd love to have you there. And if you're not ready yet, that's totally fine too. We'll see you when you're ready because we're all part of this family. But we love you. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.